The name of the message I've chosen for today, well, it's quite simple and to the point. God said it, I believe it. God said it, I believe it. You know, I've been preaching and teaching and simply relaying the word of God to those who would lend an ear for a lot of years now. My wife, Catherine, and I were both Christian school supervisors down east in good old Nova Scotia. We were there for a combined 14 years teaching in those school under the pastorate of the late Carl Prosser. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a good pastor. Yes, he was. Now, what a blessing that was. Really, I mean, being a supervisor in a Christian school, it doesn't get any better than that, this side of glory. Oh, no. Catherine and I had the preschoolers, and I had those, well, from junior high right through senior high. I had to do a lot of backtracking and pick up some of the old habits I had when I was in school. Oh, and get rid of some of the old ones, too. Oh, yes. We spent a lot of time conveying the Word of God to the children, and also seniors in old folks' homes. Yes, we did. And you know, the good old King James Authorized Version 1611 Bible has always been our guide. Always. I never got tired of reading and preaching and just talking about the Lord and how much He loves us. Not at all. No way. That's my opening for today's message. But before I close, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are not going to like or agree with what God has placed in my heart. We've all heard people say that sometimes the truth, well, it can really hurt. And that's a fact of life. You'll know what I mean by the time I'm finished. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, the message You've placed in my heart for today, I fear will not be pleasing to all who hear it. However, my heart is bursting to let it out. I pray Your grace will guide me, and that the people will be receptive. Please go before me now, Lord, and lead me on, and be Thou glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Notice it does not say the heavens, plural, and the earth. There is only one heaven and one earth. One heaven and one earth. Now, if you have difficulty believing in the first line of the Bible, then you will not understand what's to follow. Are you still with me? Okay. Now, everything that God made was perfect. I don't think we have a problem with that, do we? Although, look around, sometimes you might think so, especially some of your friends. Uh-oh. So your response may be, if that be the case, then how can a pesky mosquito be called perfect? Well, short of laboring over a boring discussion, simply allow your faith to kick in. Or you can always ask another mosquito the next time he lands on your arm. Okay? I think it's something about the blood. Oh, just like us Christians, huh? Isn't it something about the blood? It always is. It's about the blood. Of course it is. Now, if you read the opening chapters of Genesis, you're apt to understand how God brought everything into existence. The bottom line, of course, is simply God talked it into existence. For example, Genesis 1, Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And you guessed it, there was light. You see, a lot of people spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how God did it, instead of why God did it. Isn't that a fact? It sure is. Now that we've come this far, I think we can reasonably agree that our great and holy and powerful and righteous God was in complete charge and knew exactly what he was doing. And if we as born-again Bible-believing Christians are what we say we are, then we shouldn't have a problem. No way. Our all-great and powerful God knew then and still knows today what goes here and what goes there and how many of each and what they should look like and why he wants them there. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. Oh, yes, he does. Imagine for a moment our great God, the creator of heaven and earth, walking about like a woman, trying to decide things like, should I put a bush over there? Or, no, I think I'll have the bush over on this side, facing that direction, and the flower beds next to it. Yeah, maybe. I ask you people, does God change his mind? The answer is, he doesn't need to. He knew all about Adam and Eve and what to expect from each, just as he knows all about you and me. It's called foreknowledge. Now that we've come this far, I think we can reasonably agree that our great and powerful and righteous God was in complete charge and knew exactly what he was doing. And if we as born-again Bible-believing Christians are what we say we are, then we shouldn't have a problem. We shouldn't have a problem. Our great God knew then and still knows today what goes here and what goes there and why he put them here and there. You see, God still knows the end from the beginning, right? How many of us can say we know? Well, we speculate. We guess. Well, you know, I think what's going to happen in another 5 years, well, this is going to happen, you know, this is going to end here, that's going to be a calamity over there. Well, that's guessing, isn't it? That's your personal thought. But God knows exactly what's going to happen, not only tomorrow, next month, next year, but right after this next second. Even before I finish speaking, he knows what's going to happen. Imagine for a moment our great God, the creator of heaven and earth, walking about like a woman, shopping with all, now with all due respect to women here now, don't get at me now, talking like a woman, shopping, okay, saying, should I, I like those, you know, maybe they'd look nice. I need new drapes, but I don't know if they have a color. Maybe a mix. Oh, I'm not sure. Or, God, no, I think I prefer the brook running this way instead of downhill the way it's going. Oh, okay. Now, I ask you people, does God change his mind? Does God change his mind? A lot of people seem to think so. Well, the answer is, he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Wow. Does God change his mind? He doesn't need to. You see, God is all-knowing. He knew all about Adam and Eve. And he knows all about you and me. And the end from the beginning. I draw your attention to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. Now, this was after God made all the beasts of the field and the creepy crawlers and what have you. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Now move down to verse 27. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, the rest, my people, is history. Well, basically, it would appear that God created the male and female the same, which he did. However, biologically, they were and are quite different. Each has a separate function and a separate mandate, if I may use that term. Well, I don't think we need to draw pictures, since we are all fully aware of our individual functions. Now, this was in the beginning, and a lot of water has run under the proverbial bridge. You understand that, right? Now, eons later, much later, the water is still flowing. The water is still flowing. And as we look around at our steamy existence today, what we see is a male-female production from the hand of God that has fallen completely out of whack. Have you got that? Do you see that? A male-female production from the hand of God that has fallen completely out of whack. Not only have the two genders jumped ship, so to speak, and sailed off in different directions from what God intended, but have, for the most part, sad to say it, but for the most part have become an abomination in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. Men desire to be like women, and women are lured into the male gender. Good grief! God must be doing backflips! Oh, my! And what about the blame game? Oh, yeah, here we go, the blame game. Genesis 3. Let's read a few verses. Verse 12. And the man said, "The woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat." The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Well, well, well. You didn't have a choice, right? Well, we won't get into that. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So, what kind of picture do you see here? Adam blamed the woman. And the woman blamed the serpent. Talk about passing the buck. Now I know where it originated. And now we arrive at the Lord God's decision. Okay, now, the decision that has grown and festered in every male-female relationship from the beginning of time. You do it. I'll do it. No, you do it. Get them to do it. Who should do it? I don't want to do it. I'll do it. You getting the picture here? Ladies, cover your ears. Cover your ears. Are you ready? Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he, God, said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Oh my, a sad but often misunderstood commandment from God. Oh, yes, it is. The gist of it all simply means that in a marriage, the husband's decision, although negotiable, is final. It's final. Does that hurt you? Does that rub you the wrong way? Well, don't blame the speaker. Take it up with God. Unfortunately, many husbands run with this verse. And instead of applying it the way it was intended of God, they use it like a weapon or a club to cleanse their conscience following a bruised manhood. A bruised manhood. Men, do you have a bruised manhood? Huh? We're talking intellectually here now. In the end, as seen today, many male-female relationships are torn asunder by simply misinterpreting God's Word. Now, that's very important that you bear that out. Many male-female relationships are torn asunder by simply misinterpreting God's Word. God didn't say that ruling over your wife included constant harassment, along with verbal and even physical violence. No! Neither should the woman offer the same. Oh, as we draw to the end of this message, I'd be remiss to omit what 1 Timothy 2 has to say. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 to 15. Shall we read them? 1 Timothy 2, 11 to 15. The Word of God simply says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. She was deceived by the devil, right? Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. With sobriety. The key words, of course, are verse 12. Nor to usurp authority over the man. Now, I don't want to rub that in too hard, but don't forget, these are the words of God. They're not my words. And I didn't just choose them today in this message to club you ladies. No, no, no. With all due respect, the world today is not only turned upside down. Ho, ho, ho. No, but inside out. Have they got that? the world today is not only turned upside down, but also inside out. Look at the workplace. When I was a child, the woman's place was in the home. Not to toil tediously, not to overdo herself, not to be, someone that you would use non-effectively without God's approval? No. The woman's place was in the home. The man's place was on the job. On the job. Well, today, in defiance of God's word, the male-female workplace is in total, absolutely total chaos and disarray scripturally. Notice I said scripturally. As in most things, there are exceptions. You were waiting for this, right? There are exceptions when survival is the issue. However, this must be a government issue to provide for needy families and not a gender issue that carries the label of equal rights. Equal rights. Do away with God's rights. That's not what God said. Look, again, I'm not trying to stir up discord. I would urge you all, male and female, to take a good, hard, scriptural look. A good, hard, scriptural look at your world according to God's perfect will. Would you do that? You might be surprised. You know, in today's world, God warns us that things will wax worse and worse. You know what that means? Get worse and worse, right? That's what the word wax means, scripturally. There is only one blind distinction between male and female. As both continue day in and day out and ever increasing, they clamor for superiority, not only at home, but in the workplace, and in society in general. Lest we put our faith fully in the Word of God alone, and follow His precepts, there will be no further hope for humankind. No further hope for humankind. Like I said, men, ladies, if you take the Bible literally, if you use it as a way of life, if you really believe that this is the Word of God, and that we are to not only obey it, but to live with it in our hearts. You see, God's not a planter of discord. God wants us to live as one, but in Him, not in each other. Although we exist together, we work together for the betterment of others. We work together to the pleasing of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. It's a terrible scenario, I know. If you don't activate God's plan for humanity. Oh, I know, you look at the old Bible verses way back in Genesis, and you say, well, you know, that's kind of worn out. Those things, you know, they don't mean the same today. I think God understands that. No. You see, the Bible is a book that contains the Word of God. Now, not every so-called Bible out there There's a lot of Bible, so-called Bibles, that contain very little of God's Word and some kind of mix and match. But I use the King James, authorized, 1611. I believe that is the Word of God. Now, you might say, well, that's your belief, okay? You carry on, believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want. But I am saved just as well as you are. I'm not saying you're not. What right do I have to say you are not saved? You are not going to heaven. You are not one of God's children. I can only go by what God's Word says. I can show you in the Scripture what God says concerning a man and a woman, an adult and a child, a murderer and a thief. A thief. You know, it's there. It's there for our recognition. It's there for our admonition. God loves us. He created us. He wants us to understand what His plan for us is. And if we ignore that, if we turn a blind eye to the Scriptures, if we turn a deaf ear to what our holy and righteous God has placed before us, you know what's going to happen, don't you? We'll never succeed spiritually in the eyes of God. And without that, there is no hope for you or for me. Won't you give it another thought? Won't you listen to these important facts that are laid out in this message today? Listen to them over again. Make sure you understand them completely. And read the Scriptures that are implied here. They can help you. They can move you. Not just in the way you want to go, but in the way God wants you to go. Look, a happy home is a blessed home, and a blessed home is a godly home. Won't you give it some thought? This message wasn't made to tear down men or women or families or anything else. It was to uplift us, that we may see clearly what God would have for us. I thank you for listening. I'll pray you'll tune in again and listen to more from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.